The reading is from the book of John, chapter 6, and can be found on page 1010 of the Church Bible. John chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him, because they saw the signs he had performed by healing those who were ill. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip,
Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?
He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him,
It would take almost a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite.
Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up.
Well, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?
Jesus said,
Make the people sit down.
There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples,
Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted.
So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say,
Surely this is the prophet who's come into the world.
Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So I was asking God earlier, Lord, I've got this story about the vicar that might embarrass him slightly. Should I tell it? You'll have to wait. There are 5 people in this passage, or at least 5 points of focus for us to pay attention to this morning. And I want to take you through those 5 and invite you to think about, who are you this morning? Who do you identify with? Where do you make that connection? Is there somebody here that speaks to your heart, to your situation, your need? So that's what we're going to do. And I'll try and capture the message from that perspective in this passage of Scripture. And check out with you whether you think this makes sense in your life. I want to start with Philip. Now, I really like Philip. Philip's a guy who sees people and their need, and he brings people to Jesus. It's what he does. And we see it in John, we see it here and there, as he connects people. But he's also this guy who isn't afraid to go to Jesus and say, What? I picture Philip as this wonderful, holy guy with a perpetual frown and bewildered kind of, What? And that's where we start with this passage this morning. Here's Philip. What is he doing? He's looking out at this crowd of hungry people. 5,000 men and women and children. Lots and lots of people there, hungry. He can see need. He can see lots of need. And then what does he do? He looks down and sees this guy, this child, with a few loaves and fish. And he goes, What? That's not going to work. And I like this because this is the guy who experiences that kind of tension between the scale of the need and the scale of his resources and brings that question to Jesus. And I wonder whether you feel like that sometimes, whether you look out and you listen to the prayers that Peter Wright prayed, led us in prayer, and you think, What a lot of need. What difference can we make in a world that's that broken? Do you feel like that sometimes? Oh yeah, okay, not just me. Yeah? It's big stuff. The need is huge. Or maybe you look inside and you feel like there's this kind of crowd of hungers going on inside you. You feel just hungry for a sense of purpose, hungry for a sense of recognition, hungry for somebody to love you, hungry for that sense of appreciation, for somebody to say thank you, hungry for somebody to notice you're alive. And you look at that huge sense of the scale of the need and just feel so small and inadequate. Is it just me? It feels like that sometimes, doesn't it? Oh, let's go with Philip and take that experience. Here we are on the edge, if you like, of, looking out at the need in the world, looking even inside and looking at the need that we have. And let's bring that to Jesus. You feel like Philip? Then there's the child. Isn't it great that the solution to this challenge, the need that we're facing in this situation, the solution comes from an unlikely source, low status, disregarded in that society, undervalued, a child. What does he do? He brings his lunchbox. One little lunchbox. And he brings it to Jesus. A few loaves, a couple of fish. It's late in the day. What boy, having spent a day in the open air, has still got food left in his lunchbox? So what's wrong with it? Well, it's the barley loaves are the cheapest. And by that stage of the day, all that heat in the air, they're dried out, haven't they? They're almost indigestible. They're not very appealing. All that heat all day, have the fish gone off? We've got to ask a question. What has he got to bring? It's not very impressive, is it? This is not avocado on brown, is it? There's something really a bit inadequate about his offering. But it's all he's got. And what does he do with it? He brings it all to Jesus. And we need to identify with the boy, don't we? We need to do what he did. And I don't care what you think you bring today. Maybe you think what you bring is inadequate. That you're not as musical as the next person. You're not as talented. You're not as outgoing. You're not as clever. You're not as wealthy. You're not as time rich. Maybe you feel you've not got very much to offer. But you can do what the boy did. We can do what the boy did. We can take all we have and bring it to Jesus. The church has done this year by year by year, hasn't it? The harvest festival is to bring to God the offering. Any gardeners amongst us? What's the fruit and veg crop been like this year? Rubbish! Not much. And yet still, we bring and we give thanks. Maybe for you, the harvest feels meagre. Your fields, your allotments, your gardens have not yielded much. Maybe you feel like your life is not yielding very much. But we can follow the boy and bring to Jesus all we have, all our resources, such wealth as we have, whether it's pennies or thousands, our home, our future, long or short, all we have, we can bring to him. So Philip
identified the need with that perpetual frown. How do we do this, Lord? And the boy began the process. He brought what he had to Jesus. He began the journey towards the solution. Our third focus is Jesus himself. And just go back again and look again what happened. You see, Philip looked out at the need and looked down at the bread and the fish in this child's hand. And what does Jesus do? He looks out at the need. He looks round at the disciples to engage them in the project. And he looks up to the Father. And that makes the difference, doesn't it? You know, sometimes we think we see a need, whether it's a big thing in the world or whether it's a friend, someone we love, somebody in need. And we look at that. And basically, because we know our own inadequacy, we can find ourselves despairing. And then, brothers and sisters, in the nicest possible way, we can look round at the followers of Jesus and despair. Well, can we do this? Can we meet the need? Can we feed the world? Can we address the issues? Can we make a difference in the city of Nottingham? If we stop there, it's a message of despair, isn't it? But the message, the call of Jesus on our lives is to go that one step further. It's to look out at the need, to look round at the believers, to connect, to join hands, to be team, to do it together, and then to look up to God the Father for his blessing. And that's where things begin to change. And God can direct us and use us and point us in a place that will make most difference. So we join together in missional communities. So we join together in core groups. So we come together in central prayer, because we know that unless we ask God to send his blessing, then we'll have nothing but dry bread and dodgy fish. We need to look out at the need, to look round at the team, and to look up to God. Jesus made the most of the bread and fish. Those meager offerings, that small thing that he'd given. You know, when you bring your life like the bread and the fish, not very much there, not very much to offer. But Jesus blesses it. What else did he do? He demonstrated his knowledge of human nature. What would have happened if he'd begun to give food out and there'd been a crowd of 5,000 people standing? Would there have been a surge? Would there have been people hurt in the crush? Think Hillsborough. Would people have been hurt in that moment? What did Jesus do? He understood crowd. He got the people to sit down. And he created these kind of breathing spaces between. He got them to sit in groups. So there was safety there. He understood people's need. He had a way of making the most of the situation. He understood. He learned. Where did he get them to sit? He got them to sit down on the grass. Not much grass in the Middle East, is there? But here was a bit of the desert where he found them. And in fact, in Mark's gospel, it says they sat down on the green grass. Why does it matter? Have you ever tried to sit on a bare rock in the Middle East after the heat of the day? You're going to scorch your bum. He got them to sit down in the safe place where it was comfortable, where the children could sit, where legs wouldn't get burnt. Jesus understood simple things. He managed the situation. He organized how it would work so that it would work. He's organized the distribution team to get the bread and the fish out to people. Jesus didn't just grab the resources, but he was smart with how he used them to make the most of what was given. How do you do on that? God has given you and me some resources. We have money, we have time, we have talents. And God wants us to make the most of them. He offers training. Maybe it's formally, maybe you've been to college or you've been on a course or you've attended a training day on prayer ministry or Jericho Road or street pastors or how to lead a group, or you've learned stuff, or maybe that's next for you, or maybe you've learned things by the university of life, the university of discipleship. Have you had that experience where you know that God is taking you through experiences to teach you things, to make you useful, so that when these things are put in your hand, they are really effective, so that you can make a real difference? These folks who did all these wonderful things, the musicians, given talent, but you have to do the work to practice, to rehearse, to prepare, to develop your gifts. There's a set of ideas that suggest that to be really good at something, you need 10,000 hours practice. We need to keep going, to keep practicing. John Wimber used to say in prayer ministry, you know, don't know whether it works or not, but what you do is you commit yourself to pray for your first 200 people, and then you decide whether it's the calling for you or not. Just do it. Just do it. Practice. Do it. Practice. Do it. Practice. Learn. Where are we in our training program with God? You see, Jesus didn't just receive the resources, but made the most of them. As well as a harvest of resources, there was a harvest of know-how, of skill, of expertise. So, where have we got to? Philip saw the need, brought that question to Jesus. The boy brought all he had and gave it to Jesus. Lord, use this. It's all I have. Jesus made the most of it. Then there's the disciples. What did they do? Well, they had the work to do. How big an area do you think it took to seat 5,000 people in groups with space between? It's not a bad area, is it? It's quite a lot of space. We're a couple of hundred, aren't we? 5,000, you're well into New College Nottingham. You're well down to the Market Square, aren't you? It's a big area. And the disciples had to trek backwards and forwards with the food to take it all to the people. They had the work to do. And clearing up as well. Sometimes, you know, as well as that harvest of resources and the harvest of know-how, we have a harvest of effort. And isn't it great that people right across this church are putting the effort in to do the work to build the kingdom of God? Person after person after person. Not just sitting around, but doing the stuff. Not just talking about it, but doing it. This is a congregation that seeks to walk the talk, to do the stuff. They did the work. And I sometimes, you know, sometimes young people, huge amounts of effort and energy, not great on know-how about how to live life. Not great about how to do the best, get the biggest result. And then the older ones, sometimes really smart about what to do, but it's kind of gone cynical. Nobody here, of course. Do you know what I mean? You get that sense sometimes? Oh, I can tell you what's wrong with that. And it's the folks who put both resources, know-how, and effort together, doing it, that makes a difference in the world. You may not have a lot of energy to bring. You may not have a lot of time to bring. But isn't it wonderful when we see each other giving and learning and growing and doing the stuff, actually doing it, bringing that effort, that dedication of effort. Finally, the crowd. There's a comparison here. Manna in the wilderness. Do you remember back in the Old Testament? They had to go out and collect the manna. And here we have another miracle of feeding a huge crowd. But in the Old Testament, the people had to work for their food. They had to go and fetch it. Here it's brought to them. They didn't have to do anything. All they had to do, folks, was sit down. They didn't have to go and fetch it. They didn't have to do anything. What a wonderful picture of the kindness of God, of the generosity of God. What a wonderful picture. All they had to do was sit down. And maybe for some of you this morning, you've done all that rushing about. And maybe some of you are caught up in that business of still trying to earn God's acceptance, still trying to earn God's favor. And the message this morning is you don't have to do that. All you need to do is sit down and receive. Simply sit down. It'll be brought to you. And did you notice in the Old Testament, when the manna is given, whatever they collect, it's just enough. Just enough. And did you notice here in this passage, in the New Testament, all you can eat. You recognize the difference? Anybody ever been on a diet? You'll know what I mean. Just enough versus all you can eat. Jesus lays out an all-you-can-eat buffet for us. Generosity. And again and again and again in this church over recent weeks, God has been reminding us to receive, to be filled again with the Holy Spirit. To be filled up again with his blessing. Filled to overflowing. Given enough so that there's leftovers. Why did they gather them up? 12 baskets of leftovers. Perfectly biodegradable stuff, all those crusts. But here they are, gathered up into the baskets to be a visual reminder. God gives you leftovers. Couldn't help remembering Steve. Choosing not to eat bread for Lent. 40 days, remembering Jesus as the bread of life. And one splendid moment, the spoon of pudding on the way to the mouth. Custard and pudding. What's in it? This bread and butter pudding, Steve? God gives us lots. He's generous. He gives us so much that there's leftovers. And we need to fill up with God's blessing until there's so much that it spills over. There's enough for all. Great pile of leftovers. So we're back at grace, aren't we? Philip saw the need. And our calling as a church is to look out and see the need. The boy brought all he had, and that's all we can do. Do you need to do that again this morning? Bring what you have. Sometimes we need to do it again and again and again. Bring what we have to Jesus. Maybe as you come forward to receive bread and wine, That offering is an offering of yourself again. All I have, Lord. Jesus, blessed, broken, and shared to make the most of what had been given. The disciples put in the effort, and the crowd sat down. They sat down and received. And at the end of the day, that's all we can do. God gives grace so generously.